Now we move on to the second reading, which is Romans 12, 1 to 2. The very first word gives you a sense of what's happening. Parakalo, which can mean, I urge you, I exhort you, I encourage you. Parakle comes from this word. You see? You have to pick one if you're doing an English translation, but if you're doing a commentary, you like talk about the word, parakalo imas. I paraclete you. I urge you, I console you, I encourage you. Urge is one they use. Now, we're in the part of the letter which is called, appropriately, paraklesis. Huh? It's the exhortation part of the letter. We had 1 to 8, remember? Then we had 9 to 11. 1 to 8 was all about the Evangelion. What is the Evangelion? The Evangelion is the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit makes alive the good news. Huh? And the good news is a reality, not a word. Okay? So the word becomes reality in us. That's the work of the Spirit, right? Then, the mystery of Israel. And that took us 3 chapters, 9, 10, and 11. And now we're at the concluding part of the letter, go 12 to 16, and there'll be selections from there, which Paul always does. Now that we've heard all this revelation, we got to do something. We have to have our lives change. You don't say, right on, Jesus, that's really great. Thanks for a great talk. And walk out. You can't. You see what I mean? Or you can't just take it to your study and say, yes, that's very important, Diane, that word, that means, you know. No, this has to get into your heart. This is the paraklesis, you see? So that's why he starts off, parakalo. I urge you, this translation, brothers and sisters. Well, adelphi, in those days meant both, but brothers and sisters is fine. By the mercies of God. Now, why would he say that? If you were going to write an exhortation, I urge you, by what? By canon law. No, you wouldn't do that. But by the greatness, but by the mercies of God. We've just done, fellas, he says, you know, audience reading this, read it out loud. He wrote it, and then somebody's standing there reading it, and all the crowd is listening, because not everybody read, knew how to read. And so, the reader, you see, anaginosko in Greek is the word for read, means know all over again. By the mercies of God, it's not by fear of hell, it's by the mercies of God, huh? Offer your somata as a living sacrifice, you see, holy and pleasing to God. This is getting us ready, even though it's going on its own rhythm, it's getting us ready for the gospel. Offer your bodies. Your body is the whole physical dimension of the human being. You see? Yes, but it's your whole body, and it's what you do with your body. It's like saying, offer your history to God, you know? Offer who you are, offer what you do, offer what you do with your body, you know, offer it to God as a living sacrifice. That's quite a grace, isn't it? The superstars who do this, like Paul in Colossians, there, 1:24, Ninchero, now I rejoice in my sufferings, Iperimon, for you. I rejoice. That's big league ball. That's NFL, you know? We can start, at least, by at least refraining from sin and self-indulgence. Get started. You see? You offer your somata, you see, as a living thysia, as a living sacrifice, you see, which is holy and pleasing to God. And then, you see, and this is tough. You see, the text says literally your logical worship, logiki. It means, it's translated, your spiritual worship. The trouble with that word spiritual is it tends to evaporate everything. I'm offering to God my spiritual worship. I mean, I'm 40 pounds overweight and I love whiskey and I go to bad movies, but I offer a spiritual worship to God. Es geht nicht. You can't do that. You see, it means your whole being. That's why he starts by saying offer your body, your whole historical existence. You see, where you live, what you do, who you marry, what you offer your whole physical existence to God as a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving and gratitude, you see? And this is your, you do this with the depth of your heart. You see? I'm reminded of our old brother in the monastery. He said the Hail Mary over and over again all day. It was the way he kept himself in, and even at night, when he wasn't asleep, Hail Mary, full of grace, full of grace, full of grace. You'd hear him like this, you know. His whole spirit had gone over into God, as it were. He was a really holy man. But you see, it was this spiritual, logical word, intelligent might be a good word there. Worship. Now, what does that mean? Basically, it means don't live like the world lives. We're supposed to be changing this world. They don't know their right hand from their left. They're married to the third woman or the sixth man. They drink, they steal, they mock God. I mean, they're a mess. You've got to get them. That's why it says, you see, don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed, you see, by the renewal of your mind. Isn't this impressive? In other words, what's he saying? In practical terms, look, folks, you've got to have a prayer life. You've got to have time every day to give to God. And I promise you that if you start, it will get to be a hunger. I'm sure I've told you this story before, but I'm going to tell you again about these two friends, two men, businessmen, both quite wealthy. One said to the other, are you praying? No, I'm not praying. I'm busy. I mean, I got six kids. He was a big shot, headed up a whole department of IBM, and he was only 42, you know. And I'm a lecturer in church, and I'm, you know, he does everything with prayer. The other guy said, look, give me 10 minutes a day. Just pray, 10 minutes a day. He said, all right, I'll try that. A couple of months later, they met again. He said, well, how you doing? The other fellow said, I'm praying an hour a day. He said, I thought you said you didn't have time. He said, you know, it got to be a hunger. That's the way God works with us. He wants us to have that contact, you see? So we're not just down here doing our spiritual push-ups, you know, to get holy. We're talking to God. You can read the Bible. You can talk to him. You can sing songs to him. St. John of the Cross says, pray as you can, not as you can't. The desperate thing is to be in touch with God and learn how beautiful, how awesome he is, and fall in love with him. That's the whole point. And so it's hard to translate this stuff, you know. But it's saying, see, don't conform yourself to this age. Why? Because it's on its way out. I mean, look at the, like, epitome of what's wrong with the world, huh? Hitler killed 10 million. Stalin killed 20 million. Mao Tse-tung killed 100 million. All in the name of progress. Where are they now? Nobody even remembers their name. Where are they now? I hope they were forgiven. I hope they asked for it. If they asked for it, they got it. I just hope they weren't so hardened that they couldn't ask for it. But you see, this what's important in this age? You want to find out what's really important? turn on the TV. You know, it's the same over and over and over again. Whatever is titillating or frightening or scandalous, that's being conformed to this age. You need money, you need power, you need friends, you need pleasure. And he's saying, no, you don't. You need joy. And joy comes from the Holy Spirit. That's what you need. And when you have joy, then you know what life is all about. So that's what he's saying. Don't be conformed, you see, to this world, because it's going nowhere. But rather, see, metamorphoste, be transformed by the anakinosi, by the renewal of your mind. Well, how do you get a renewed mind? You think. Take care of your mind. It's the precious thing you've got. Don't squander it. And get the discipline. I have known so many people who have finally got the picture that life is not just playing games. So they begin to take care of their mind. What they read, and this not following all the excitement of who's Miss America, or, you know, who cares? Pray for her. Some of them turn out all right, some of them don't. But, you see, take care of your mind. Read, reflect, pray. Take care of your mind. That's what he's saying, you see. Renewal of your mind. So that you may discern the will of God, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Everybody's scared of the will of God. You know, it's the only thing that brings joy. Why? Because God is love. That's why. Why does God will things for us? Because he loves us. And why do we resist him? Because we're selfish egomaniacs. That's why. I can do better by myself. Now, we know we can't. But we still, you know, God might be too hard on me. I mean, I might have to give up smoking. Or something silly like that. You know? And so Paul tells us, you see, now, if we put that into what we're going to hear in a moment in the gospel, you see, you've got to deny yourself. Why? Because, you see, we're not born normal, if I can say it that way. We're a little bit nuts, you know? And so we run after everything that's pleasing and power-making and everything. Oh, they think that's important, then I think that's important. Until the Lord touches your life and you say, that's ridiculous. You know, that's ridiculous. That's not what matters in life. Now, most people know that, but they don't stop, think, and act on it. And Paul is saying, that's the only way, so that the beginning of what the gospel is talking to us about is a simple, basic discipline. Don't eat too much, don't drink too much, don't smoke, don't waste your time on television, and don't chase after the things that the movie stars are chasing. Because most of them are pretty superficial folk. Pretty and talented, good looking, but about a half inch deep. Is that what you want to be? That's what he's saying.